Well, good evening, and welcome to this call. I have some things planned for you this evening that I hope will be of benefit to you, some new things that you probably have never heard me talk about before. Just bear with me for a moment. Let's have Jason down here and listen, because it's causing static on the phone. Chase, who many of you know from our customer service department, is up here at the cabin with me for the last couple of days doing some planning regarding customer service moving forward, and he's attempting to be on another line in the cabin. I'm asking him to come down here with me in the coolness of the family room downstairs, so he'll be with us here in just a moment. I want to thank all of you for entertaining his phone calls and sharing your insights. What happens when he finishes with those calls? He meets with me to share that information so that I can be more effective in meeting your individual needs. And this evening, remember last week we ended with the five constructive ways to use your mind and how the power that governs abundance can manifest ideas and impressions and solutions. A couple things I want to talk about that today that are germane to where you all are. And then we're going to talk about how that power manifests in tangible reality. Now, there's a lot of debate about this, a lot of confusion. Welcome. I don't need to be right about this. I just want you to know that it works in my life, and I've been able to identify these principles from both dissecting my own and the lives of other very successful people to find out what it is that they do intuitively, naturally, and then little pieces that you can actually learn and master. So that if you haven't been an intentional creator, if you've been an employee somewhere and you've been dreaming and having all of this excitement about what's possible, my message is how can you make that a tangible reality? Because we spend far too much time in our minds escaping to what it'll be like when and living in the then it will be. When someone comes to our meeting and they sign up, then. When I have this $10,000 a month income, then. And we live in the then. It's very natural and it's very normal. Don't beat yourselves up over this. Don't be concerned about it. That's not the point. The point is this. We'll never create success doing it that way. Not the success you desire. So if you truly want to turn your dreams into tangible reality, I'm going to take you to a couple places tonight that you probably haven't heard me ever talk about or probably haven't read from the writings that I've done the last little while. Now, a couple of updates. We are transitioning the programs on the back end that are in your library, and starting next week, you'll start to see some of these appear. If you already own the Seven Laws of Abundance, I think it's $199 to own that program. You're going to receive, absolutely free, we're just going to unleash it to you, unload it, you're going to receive it. You're going to receive a $600 program entitled Becoming an Intentional Creator. It's six sections, six qualities, connecting with people, goals and expectations, and a third one, very, very close, in that we've written all the material for all six of them, but we're tight programs that will assist you in step-by-step becoming an intentional creator. So that when you look at your assessment and you go, okay, let me click on this button that says connecting with people and these six measurements light up. There's something there that we don't like and we want to shift it. What can we do to specifically shift those thought processes so that we can become an intentional creator? So you'll be able to look at your assessment and say, I want to work on that, I want to change that. And you'll know exactly where to go to do it. It won't be quite as, well, frankly, I say nebulous. The Seven Laws of Abundance, very powerful concept because these laws are important. But tying specific techniques and laws to very specific thought processes is just our attempt to get a little bit deeper into this process so that you can start making the shifts that you would like to make in your life. So that's an exciting piece that's coming for all of you who have the program. The Seven Laws of Abundance. Now, if anybody on this phone's going, I don't have it, I'm saying, well, you may want to jump on it in the next week, if you can, because that $199 is going to buy you a $600. So we have several people still arriving. So thank you for being with us this evening. Start watching a week from tonight. The next day you'll start to see these programs being put in your back office, your back, we call it library, your tools. The six qualities of an intentional creator, starting with the first two, connecting with people, goals and expectations. This is connecting with people is that very comprehensive discussion on intrinsic validation. There is one in seven laws, but it's not as thorough as this one. Goals and expectations, I go into great detail on the three destructive ways you use your mind, the five constructive ways, and I'll give you just an example of how detailed it is. In the area on goals and expectations, I will walk through how to grow and develop a relationship with another person, committed relationship, how to create a committed relationship, how to build a business, setting the goals and expectations for building a business, and if you're an employee and if you still have a full-time job, how to get value as an employee, how to become the very best employee that you can become. So all four of those areas in great detail with examples and some exercises for you to do to actually start putting those things into effect. So we're very excited about where this program is going to assist you in having the information that you need. Now this evening, after spending time with Chase today and talking about each one of you, I have some grave concerns. And I don't want to be depressing at all, but I want us to be able to talk honestly with one another this evening about what really is. Each one of you need a miracle in your life. A miracle. Before we're done tonight, I'm going to show you how to create one. It doesn't take that much effort, just a little extra in a very specific way to create a miracle. I'm going to show you how to create a miracle in the next week. Our challenge is this. Many who come into a direct selling or multi-level marketing business, or they're in business for themselves, where they get excited and they go to meetings, etc., quite often get caught up in the rah-rah of the marketing concept. We see someone at the head of the room who's making $100,000 a month, and by the time we get home that night, we've gone from 10 to 20 to 30 to 100,000 ourselves. And then we're living in what we would do with that. We soon find out that $100,000 a month isn't that much money, so we got to make it 200. As if automatically that's just what the universe is going to deliver us, is an extra 100,000 because we need it for the things that we would like to have in our lives. Here is the first piece tonight. I'm going to take you somewhere. Don't be overwhelmed by this. And this call is being recorded so that you'll be able to listen to it and digest this, because it's just a little complex at first, but I'm going to go there because I want you to know how this functions. In this particular area of our lives, it's called systemic thought. Systemic thoughts are thoughts that we have about things that exist only in our mind. That's our fantasies, our dreams, our hopes, rules, regulations, policies, procedures, all of these things that exist in a systemic mind. Now, a systemic area of our mind functions so differently than every other thought. We have thoughts when we're doing things. We have thoughts about people. Those are different thoughts. They process totally differently. Systemic thoughts are so unique and so deadly if they're abused. This is how they function. It's called dualistically. Let's write that down, dualistically. That's kind of a big concept, but really what it means is that this particular area of thought thinks in polar opposites. Polar opposites. There's no spectrum. You've seen like a color spectrum where it goes yellow and then soon it's orange and then it's red. That's a spectrum. This is absolutes, all or nothing. Right or wrong. Life or death. Win or lose. That's how they function. Now imagine this. You get involved in a company and you're very excited about the product, the possibilities, you can't wait to tell the whole world, and you start dreaming about the income that you can make and what you'll be able to do with the income, and oh, you'll be able to fire your boss and finally have time freedom and financial freedom, and oh, what a wonderful thought to finally be away from the grind of boring, mundane, repetitious work. We're in this place. Here's your risk. 97% of you on the phone have systemic thoughts that are over-focused. If you've got your assessments handy, look at the third measurement in the external world, discipline. Look at the ninth measurement, analytical. Look at the ninth measurement on the internal world, goal setting. Take a look at those and see if they're out of balance. The more they're out of balance, the greater the risk. The greater the risk that you'll create a thought process that will sabotage your life. You'll want to be vigilant, hyper-vigilant, how you use this thought process. For an example, we have envisioned this wealth. When we have an over-focused thought like this, you've heard me say this, same brain chemistry, brain circuitry fires that would fire if we're actually there. I've said that so many times, and some of you heard it so many times, it's like, okay, so lollipops are sweet. No. The mind, the systemic mind, thinks that's what is. Now, keep in mind, all or nothing. Life or death. Win or lose. Its expectation, its concrete condition for happiness, the neuroscientists call it, its mental construct is the $100,000 a month of income and everything you'll buy with it. This isn't just an idea. In the systemic mind, it has become its reality. Now think about this. If it's all of that or it is nothing. Now in this fantasy, we get excited, and what we experience and have experienced so many times, people prematurely quit their jobs. They prematurely quit their jobs before their income will support their lifestyle. They're so excited to have that life which their mind thinks is so real. And now I hope you're starting to see why you would make the decision to quit a job before you have the income. Who in their right mind would do that? Well, the person who has an over-focused systemic thought that's been used to fantasize about what it'll be like when, has created a reality in the mind, and the mind is non-negotiable. It is immovable. It is a concrete condition for your happiness. So we will make decisions when this thought process is in charge that in normal life would be questioned by anyone as being crazy. But we do it anyway, and we quit our jobs. Now, here's a risk. We may discover, and I want to be very careful how we talk about this tonight, because this is a painful process. Matter of fact, I'm going to pause for a moment and tell you a story. I was reflecting on this last week when I was finishing a chapter in the book. Dear friend and his wife, every Sunday after church, they would take about a 20-minute drive to this new house that had been built that had been vacant for about 6 months. It was a beautiful home. It had everything they had ever dreamed of having in a home. They took pictures of it. They talked about it. They didn't just fantasize independently. They did it collectively and talked about how they would decorate this room. And they would look at pictures in magazines, and they would choose furniture. They landscaped it. They made all of this happen to such an extent that it became a concrete condition for happiness. It was so vivid in their minds that that was their reality. Now, every time reality showed up differently, which was almost every day, it went from all to nothing, life to death. This vision, this dream, this fantasy was not driving their passion, their willingness to suffer to create this. It was simply creating anxiety and frustration. Now think about this. Some of you on the phone, what was your fantasy? What are you still clinging on to? What are you still hoping for? Is it a house? Is it a car? Is it a lifestyle? Is it finally being above it all and feeling no more pain and stress? Just be okay to step back with me and take a look at this thought process, because it can feel like it is us. It's that powerful. It feels like it's us. But it's just a thought process. It's just so locked into this outcome. Well, they heard me speak on this subject, and they went home and they decided to tear up the picture on the refrigerator. And they described to me, matter of fact, they were up here with us in Bear Lake when they shared this with us. They were screaming. I mean, they got into almost a fist fight over the pain of letting this go. And then they hired me as a coach. And in our very first session, we talked about this. And I said, well, you shouldn't let go of it. You should still hold the dream. We just need to hold it differently. What I discovered was the house was $850,000. That was the price tag. They had less than $5,000 in a savings account. In other words, they couldn't qualify nor even carry the loan payment. Their business was still floundering. They really had not established a regular income. And we thought, isn't that interesting that this expectation, this concrete condition for happiness, this mental construct was so real, they almost broke up their marriage over tearing up the picture because they were that committed to it. Well, we talked about, okay, let's back up for a moment. That's the house you want. Put it on a dream board if you like and make it a target and not a daily destination. That's where we're headed. Now, let's get clear on what we're doing today to actually create that so that we can make it happen. And our focus is on the millimeters of life between here and there, and let's understand the pieces. Now, I share that story with you, and I bring this subject up for a reason. There are a number of you that quit jobs prematurely. Bless your hearts. Now you know why. You have systemic thought processes that are over-focused. You use them to fantasize. You got committed to the fantasy, and you made a decision to quit a job. Now you're paying a very heavy price, and here's the greatest rub. It is so real in the mind that to let go of the idea of being independent, of no longer having a job, is tantamount to cutting something out of your heart with a dull knife. It is that real to the mind. It's like, I am losing. I am failing. Can you hear the other side of that spectrum? I'm a loser. I'm a failure. Just know that the reason why the mind goes there is it has no other option. You have a different option, but it doesn't. All or nothing. Win or lose. Life or death. If you need cash flow in your life and your business is growing but not fast enough to generate it, it's not losing to get a job. It might be wisdom from a practical standpoint instead of a systemic standpoint. If we keep thinking about it in terms of our fantasy and our dreams, it'll torment us and we'll have a difficulty letting go of it. However, we step back and we become logical and pragmatic, it will make much more sense. Now, some of you have committed companions who've been trying to tell you this from the beginning. And then there's nothing like one of them saying, see, I told you so. That's a painful thing. That just adds complication. Or a parent or a friend who said, see what I told you? Now you're back working your job. Did you fail? I mean, we can have that too, yes. But they don't pay your bills. You pay them. And to be able to step back and give yourself permission to be a winner, someone who is practical, someone who is wise, someone who can go and get a job, and when I send you this material, when you start seeing it, how to create value as an employee and find passion in your work, there's nothing shameful about that if you're that kind of an employee. You could come to an organization and create someone who is irreplaceable, who creates tremendous value in the lives of people and could have a wonderful experience in their life, coming home energized and ready to spend a few extra hours building this business one step at a time until it can support you. I have way too many friends who do have support from their businesses. They're in multi-level marketing companies and direct selling companies. They do not fantasize. They don't do that. What they do is what I'm going to teach you again tonight and what I've been sharing with you on a weekly basis. This is what they do. You see, we want what they have. but it's painful to face what they do. And sometimes we'll need to go back into a job and take it one step at a time, realizing this is a journey. We are radically shifting thought processes, which radically shifts behavior, which radically shifts outcome. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't be ashamed by it. The truth of the matter is our society has ingrained this in us. You watch television, you think nobody has a job. Everybody's got a perfect life. You read magazines, you go watch movies. People can do crazy things in their lives without consequence. However, when we do them, there's ugly consequences often. We want to make sure we're living in reality. So I want to wrap my arms around the two or three of you who are in excruciating pain, even contemplating the possibility of getting a job. I want you to know that the rules have changed in the last 9 or 10 months. We have had a shift in our economy of such magnitude that we haven't seen it since the Depression. I've been through a number of these things in my lifetime. I've never seen these elements present. This pandemic, this widespread across the entire country. Oh, be wise. Be the wise one. Be the smart one. Get cash flow going in your life and get a job, because those who have jobs right now can be deeply grateful to have income. And there's a point in time where you'll be able to break out on your own. Now, one last piece. If you have a job and you've been contemplating quitting it to do your business, if your business is generating maybe 2 times as much as your job, then you can consider that. I wouldn't even consider it till that point. You right now are accustomed to both paychecks, this business and your employment. Now you're going to take a substantial pay cut. Yes, you'll have more time freedom, etc. However, here's a key piece. When you are employed by someone else, they are the boss. They tell you what to do, and sometimes we do it out of fear or obligation. We just have to get the job done. When you fire that boss, you must be, you'll want to be, ready to hire you. You will now be the boss. Are you ready? Do you have the discipline to get yourself up in the morning early and to study and to improve and to acquire the ability equal to your opportunity? Do you have the determination to make phone calls even when you don't want to work even when you're sick? Have you got the drive and the focus and the vision to do that? Most do not. Most do not. They have a fantasy. They have a desire of what it could be like, but they do not have the discipline. You will want to, and I can tell you it can be developed. And it's developed as fast as you're willing to surrender to the principles. It can be developed, and when it's finally developed, you'll know it. You'll know it because you'll be on fire in your soul. You'll be like my good friend Dan McCormick. I call him Dan the Sunshine Man. We're going to be on a fun phone call this Saturday across the nation on Blog Talk Radio. Somebody who gets up every morning, and regardless of what's going on in his life, and he's had challenges that are painful and ugly, always, always on fire and excited and lifting and building. He knows that whatever attitude he brings is contagious for everyone he comes in contact with, and he would never be selfish enough, never be selfish enough to be negative or angry or depressed or tired, not when he's with people. He's just solely focused on lifting and building them. That's the kind of person you're going to want to become. Again, hardly anyone's there. Hardly anyone. It's a journey, and that journey is often better facilitated when there is cash flow in your life. So please, if you're feeling pain, step back with me tonight and go, I'm not failing, I'm not quitting, I'm not a loser. That's what a systemic thought process wants you to believe. All or nothing, win or lose. It's not the truth. It's just a systemic thought. And because it's so out of balance and it's been so abused by fantasy, the polar opposite is extremely painful. the deeper you've gone into the possibilities, the deeper you have seen yourself living that lifestyle, in that house, driving that car, traveling those to those exotic places, the deeper you've gone into that, the more pronounced and ugly the other end of this polar opposite is. It is the antithesis, the total opposite of the fantasy. So as the fantasy is threatened, just know what you're feeling. As awful as it is, it's just because of the extent to which the fantasy was abused. So step back from it and go, I'm not a loser. Gosh, Dave, thank you. I'm not a loser. And you're not a loser. You're just not a loser. It's just time to be wise. Okay. A lot of you have some jumbled thoughts. Just absolutely jumbled thoughts. How many of you keep your cell phone on at night when you're in bed, just in case somebody needs to get a hold of you at 4 o'clock in the morning? How many of you just can't miss a phone call for fear you might lose an opportunity? How many are almost incessant or obsessive in the way that your thought process is? You sit down to do something, anything, and, oh, I need to call that person. Oh, yeah, I need to send them an email. Oh, I needed to do this. And all day long, it's in this kind of a place, just craziness. How many of you are there? Just ponder that for a moment. Because successful people do not function that way. Now, that's not saying you're not successful. It just says here's an opportunity to see a piece that so long as it's present will sabotage your opportunity to create success. A successful person can focus on a task and shut out the rest of the world until that task is completed. Is it easy? Absolutely not. There is a conscious effort. You've heard me say this. Not today. We're not going there today. For the next 3 hours, we will not be doing anything but and getting truly into a space, for example, when writing a book or you're making phone calls, especially if it's something that you're not crazy about, such as making phone calls. If phone calls are not your favorite activity, I can promise you your systemic mind will come up with a million things for you to consider doing other than sticking to that schedule. So just know, and I'm going to give you the technique for doing this before we finish tonight. Just know that a successful person has mastered this part of their mind. Doesn't mean they're never an overwhelm, because they can be. You've heard me say that people who are successful have become capable of handling increasing levels of stress, and the more stress they handle, the more successful they are. That is a true principle. The more stress they can handle, the more successful they become. The more they have, they can handle, the more they have. However, they can be human too. They can get to a point of a flashpoint and a little bit of frustration. It just takes something a whole lot more important than a simple phone call or an email to make that happen. But we all deal with those kinds of pressures, but you want to become a person who is the master of your thoughts. The question you want to ask yourself tonight is, do my thoughts run my life, or do I run my thoughts? Which is it? You step back and say, wow, my thoughts want me to do this, they want me to do that. But what do I want to do? What do I want to do with this day? I'm going to seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. What do I need to do today? What do I want to do today that will move me 1 millimeter closer to my dream? What could I do? How can I create that? What can I create? How will that serve? What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Constantly, constantly moving forward and taking things that seem urgent and handling them appropriately. I had a tenant call this week. Air conditioner wasn't working. In the top floor of the house. Their house was 92 degrees upstairs. This was not good. However, I could have shut down. I was writing that Saturday. I could have shut down what I was doing, gone, driven over there, tried to figure it all out, but I'm not an air conditioning guy. So we simply called the air conditioning guy who would be there on Monday. And then you shut it off. There's nothing you can do about it till Monday. It's done. On Monday, they came over, and the guy said, well, we got a problem. The wiring's not right here, and so we need an electrician. Well, we got an electrician in the next day. We got a call from her this afternoon. The compressor's working, but it's not cooling. Well, this is a lot of days to be in a house that's really hot upstairs. We could get caught up in the emotion of that, or we could get very specific about what needs to be done next. You get the comfort air out there. Let's do a check on the Freon, because now they can, because the compressor's running. That's probably the problem. Let's get it solved first thing in the morning, and then we let it go. We have a tendency when our mind, the systemic mind, is very active, to stew over things and stew over things and stew over things. And we find ourselves, we don't have a full-time job. Our job is our business. We're not selling. We're not recruiting. And we don't have time to really read the scrolls. 4.5 minutes, 3 times a day. Isn't that fun? And it's not because we're lazy. Please understand, you're not lazy. Your minds are just so jumbled with so many things that are creating cortisol to be released in your body. And the cortisol is attaching to its cell receptor and communicating anxiety and fatigue. And I can promise you that when it does this, it is literally wearing out the cell of your body. You, in fact, are exhausted. It's not in your mind. Now, you might come home and someone might say, well, get your butt going and let's get these phone calls made. And you're exhausted. You're exhausted. Not because of the physicality of the work, because of the chemicals that have been released in your body because of the jumbled thoughts, because of the obsessive craziness of the thought processes. So just ask yourself tonight, how long have my thoughts been running my life? Is it time for me to run my thoughts, to start bringing them into alignment? Now, I gave you some principles last week. Mental rehearsal. I want to emphasize a point about mental rehearsal. Every one of you on this phone, almost to a person, there could be an exception, are very vivid visualizers. We've been using it most likely for fantasy. What's it going to be like when, and then living in the then. When you're in a mental rehearsal, it is exactly the same vividness. It's just like a fantasy. The difference is you're there for a different reason. In fantasy, our intention is to escape into the future, to time when, to skip all the work between now and then. We just want this and we want it now. And oh, would that be so wonderful, and we want to artificially experience it today. In mental rehearsal, we have a burning desire to serve people, to lift and build people, to engage in life, embrace principles, connect, create value, and contribute to the world. It's that desire that drives the vividness of a mental rehearsal. And when we're in mental rehearsal, we can see our dreams. We can see that we need to bring 20 people into our business to generate a $200,000 income or whatever it might be, 20 really good leaders. And so we stop thinking about the 200,000. We start seeing the 20. We mentally rehearse what these people are like, and we see their faces, and we put names to them. We put skin and muscle on the skeletal bone, and we start to find out where they are and what their troubles are and challenges are. And so many say to me, Dave, are we making this stuff up? And I say, no, not if you're consciously there in partnership with the power that governs abundance. That is a very real power, and it will reveal to you information that you could not find any other way short of an extensive interview with that person. You can know a great deal about the people you're looking for, because that, if you're truly there to bless their lives, if you're truly to lift and build them, it can reveal to you the information necessary to find them, connect with them, and bless their lives. That is congruent with its mission, to bless lives. If our come from is, I want to act like I'm caring about people, but in my secret private moments, I'm not fantasizing about blessing lives. I'm fantasizing about fancy cars and homes and jets and exotic vacations. That's where I really spend my time. Then we're duplicitous. We're double-minded. And you can't be double-minded. You can't be acting like you care with an underlying secret desire of wealth just to get above it all and get away from it, and expect that power to assist you, because that power knows your heart. It knows your heart. And the cleaner your heart is, the more intent it is on blessing the lives of others, the more active it will become in the process of manifesting ideas and impressions and solutions. The more active it will become in that process, the more you'll begin to trust that power, the more that power will begin to trust you. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do stupid things. We all do. I'm including me in that. I hope you understand that. Bottom line is that when we have an overriding, burning desire to bless the lives of others, that power can partner with us in blessing those lives. Don't ever believe, and I know I offend some when I say it, that visualization will create tangible reality, because it will not. That power does not designate lottery tickets nor parking spaces. I know that's going to offend some. Please don't be offended. Just be open to a possibility. That power does not designate lottery winners or parking spaces. It's about blessing lives. And when our focus is there, you will see miraculous things manifest in terms of ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Now, the purpose for that little divine spark that comes is it gets us excited. We actually start to feel passion. We can't wait to get back into the here and now to begin creating it. And this is where the transition occurs. Because once we step into tangible reality to do the work, we're driven by that vision, and we begin creating in the millimeters of life. And as we begin to create the millimeters of life, there are two things that are critical. Number one, it's essential that we fully maximize the gifts we've already been given. We can't ask that power to give us more gifts if we're not using what we currently have. I want you to know with absolute certainty that when you fully use what you've been given, that power will grant you additional ability that you currently don't have. It manifests additional ability. That's the first of two things it does. Now think about that. Wow. So when I'm in my mind mentally rehearsing or exploring or seeking inspiration and problem solving, planning or goal setting, it manifests ideas, impressions, and solutions. Okay, I got that. Now I'm to take those, because they've ignited my passion, and come start actually executing on the steps to create that, the millimeters of life. I'm now actually doing the work. Now, the very next thing I want to do is focus on what gifts have I been given. Now, if you've got the Seven Laws program, and next week you'll have Connecting with People, you want to go and visit and listen to the Chicago Dream. And the Seven Laws is in the Law of Partnership. The Chicago Dream will tell you how to hold your past experiences. You have been blessed. You might smile when I say this. With some really horrific things in your life, some real challenges, some frustrations, some anxieties. Those are some of the most exciting things you could ever experience, because it has prepared you uniquely to step into the world and bless the lives of another person who's having a similar experience today. You don't need to tell them the gory details of what happened to you, but you'll know the questions to ask. You'll know the questions. And when you ask them, it's as if they're saying, oh, finally someone understands where I am. Finally, I feel understood. Walls come down. Connection is made. And it's in that space that you can share solutions to their problems. And many of you have some marvelous solutions to those kinds, some of those financial problems at least, and you can share them in that moment. But only when you use your life experiences to pay it, when you're listening, to pay attention and go, oh my goodness, I've been there. I know what that feels like. Or I have at least a frame of reference. Did you ever do this? Did you ever feel that? It's when I asked a friend I hadn't talked to for a year recently. I think I've shared this story in a call. I felt impressed to call him. He shared his story. One question rolled out. How seriously are you considering suicide? He said, that's all I'm thinking about. It's awful. But what an opportunity to be there to serve somebody. The connection you can make. And how would I know that? Because in the darkest hour of our financial loss, buried in $1 million of debt, on the second round of being kicked in the backside and my heart stabbed with a dull knife, I looked at $1 million life insurance policy and thought, maybe that's the solution. And I knew where I was, and I knew what it felt like to be in that moment. And I could sense from his comments he was there. And I could ask the question nobody else would ask, or at least no one hadn't been there. Think about where you are right now. Think about what you're going through right now. Some of you on the phone may already be in the middle of one of those. You may not have gotten past it. There may be some from the past. Take those experiences, and if you can, in partnership with that power that governs abundance, express gratitude for this opportunity to learn. And if you will take this experience as an opportunity to learn, you will be prepared uniquely to bless the lives of many people. You'll be more effective than the average person in your business because you'll own your own life experience. It could be the most powerful thing in your life. You own that fully. You show up to serve. You let go of your fear. Now, there's a whole section on that. We'll spend an evening on fear before too long, just on fear alone. But if we can let go of it, what happens is that power that governs abundance will endow you, will bless you, will manifest greater levels of ability. Isn't that an exciting thing to know? When you've done all that you can do, you can be given what you need. Now, that comes with a warning. Because as long as we're hiding our ability in fear and anxiety, likelihood we won't get there. You know, I'm just feeling impressed that next week we need to talk about fear. I think there's a lot of fear amongst those on the phone. Let's dedicate next week to how do you overcome fear so that you can actually access this additional ability. So that's the first thing. The next thing is very interesting. This is one that because there is a kernel of truth in what you've often heard or thought, it's very dangerous ground to walk on, but I see if I can make it very clear for you. Now that you are using all your gifts, your past experiences, you're focusing on blessing the lives of others, you're stepping into their world, you're taking down their walls of resistance. And in your business, some of those problems have solutions that are economic, and you get blessed financially. What a deal. How cool is that? As you're going through this process and you are in action, the second thing this power manifests is people on your path. It will put people on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. And it will be nothing short of miraculous. Nothing short of miraculous. However, you must be actively engaged. The idea that you could sit in an easy chair and somehow a Lamborghini would appear in your garage is just so offensive to the power that governs abundance. To believe that you could sit in your home and think about people and manifest sales is offensive to that power. However, that power is so gracious and so kind and so willing to bless the lives of the person who is actually actively doing it, that it will put people on your path in a very miraculous way that can serve you and who you can serve. You've heard me say this before. Abundance is not something that we receive. It's not something that we win. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. You can find that in the seven laws. Are we actively participating in this? Or are we just saying, I'm ready to receive. Give me my share. We can receive, but not by just asking to receive without being in action. There's a lot of confusion around this. Some people think that they receive, and the reason why they're not receiving is because they have a worthiness issue. They're not worthy enough. If they were just worthy, if they could just believe in their own heart they're worthy, then the universe would manifest. That's not true. You know, it's not about thinking you're worthy. It's about being worthy. It's about living without fear. It's about fully utilizing your gifts. It's about taking those manifestations of ideas and impressions and solutions and acting on them. When you're in this place, then that power will manifest and you will receive. It'll be a natural outcome of your purpose-driven action. It will not be as a result of a plea. There's a great line in Scroll 10. Oggs talked about this in 1968, and hardly anybody could figure it out at the time. But oh, how powerful. He says, never will I pray. And he said this. If anybody's got a question about prayer, I love this line. Who is so little faith that in a moment of great disaster or heartbreak has not called to his God? Who has not cried out when confronted with danger, death, or mystery beyond his normal experience or comprehension? And I can tell you right now, one of the greatest causes of this is a systemic thought where you thought you were supposed to go fantasize about all this stuff, and it's just created torment in your life. That's beyond your normal experience or comprehension. From where has this deep instinct come, which escapes from the mouth of all living creatures in moments of peril? He said, my life need not be filled with religion in order for me to recognize this greatest mystery of nature. All creatures that walk the earth, including man, possess the instinct to cry for help. What does our cry look like? He said, never will I cry for the material things of the world. I'm not calling on a servant to bring me food. I'm not ordering an innkeeper to provide me with a room. Never will I seek the delivery of gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness. Only for guidance will I pray, that I may be shown how to acquire these things. That prayer will always be answered. He went on to say, I ask not for gold or garments or even opportunities equal to my current ability. Instead, guide me so that I may acquire additional ability equal to my new opportunities. Now, I've added a word or two to make that clear for you. So as you're taking action, as you're doing all that you can to acquire as much ability as you can, when you reach the point where you haven't acquired enough and you need more, it will be granted to you. When you're acquiring ability and you're taking action and you're making the phone calls and you're getting over the fear, people will be put on your path. It's the most interesting thing. I've had so many conversations in this area where someone said, you know, I called for 4 hours one day and I didn't have anybody respond to a meeting. Nobody wanted to come. It was just an awful experience. But I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. I went to the grocery store to find something, and I'm standing in line, and I meet the most interesting guy, who's now or lady, who's now an integral part of my business. Person put on your path. Some person said, I do a lot of flyers. I hand out flyers on cars. Well, I flyer, 1,000 cars, exhausted by the time we finish the process. And on the way back to the car, strikes up a conversation with person, and that's the person. That's the person who needed what he had or she had. It will work that way. You do your part, and that power will do its part. I have had too many tender experiences in this that I just now expect it to be. If you focus on doing the work, passion-driven, paying attention to the details, in control of your thoughts, seeking to bless the lives of other people, people will be put on your path, and it will be miraculous in the way in which it's done. And I've said that 3 different ways because I want to emphasize the point when you come back and listen to this call. You want to have those people manifest? Now you know how. That power will bless you. Oh, it will bless you as long as you are truly in partnership, not duplicitous, in bringing abundance to the lives of other people. Now, next week we're going to spend time on fear. I think it'll be very interesting for you to know the physiology of fear. Not that we need to have a physiology lesson, but if we can understand what creates it, what causes it, and how we react to it, it may assist us in those moments to override it. Otherwise, it'll swamp us. So let's have some fun with fear on our next call. I want to talk to you about the exercise. We've got about 10 minutes. I want to share this with you. This exercise will be telling in two ways. One, you want a miracle. If you truly want a miracle, I'm going to challenge you to do what I'm going to share with you exactly the way I'm going to share it. If you'll do it, I can promise you a miracle. I can also tell you that I've done this now for 5 years with this exercise. That's when it was created 5 years ago. I've only had two coaching clients do it the first week. Whether they were personal clients or in a boot camp or on a call like this, only two. Be number three, because both of them had astounding miracles in their life. We're talking about astounding miracles. And you'll know when the miracles began. The first one to do it did it a second week. And she said, Dave, there were times when I was screaming at my thought processes. It took every ounce of strength. Now, this sounds kind of interesting, isn't it? This is just a thought process. But she was screaming at her thought processes, which were trying to tear this down and keep her from doing this very simple thing. But she did it a second week and created a second miracle. So if you want a miracle, listen carefully to what I'm about to share with you. You wake up in the morning. You want to wake up early. You want to wake up before the kids get up if you have children, before a spouse gets up if you've got a companion. You want to have enough time to be able to think, just ponder. You want to select three times during the course of that day, three one-hour periods, approximately 1 hour, that are the most important moments of the day. That might be an opportunity meeting that you've got tonight. It might be times when you're making phone calls. It might be a one-on-one meeting that you have with someone this day. But in the morning, you pick these three things. Okay, now I got them. Then you're going to read scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. You'll hear Og talk about this. He talks about, why am I here when so many are no longer with us? Well, Og's not with us anymore. But don't get concerned. We're not talking about you're going to die tomorrow. We're talking about the fact that this day will be gone tomorrow. We don't get it back. We only get one shot at this day. What are we going to do with this day? So we want to be absolutely focused, and we start by listening to scroll or reading scroll number 5. So far we got three important activities, scroll 5. Now, think about this. How much time do you spend in a day catastrophizing, worrying, playing out those endless worst-case scenarios, or fantasizing about what it's going to be like, or tormenting ourselves over relationship issues or other family issues or finances, whatever it might be? We spend a great deal of time. I know when I stopped this, I found 3 hours in my day, at least 3 hours. So instead of going into that space, you're going to have three thought processes on your mind. You've heard them. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? I'm going to give you an example. I was in a coaching call 2 weeks ago with a client. She's a vice president of a wonderful athletic company. And I may have shared this with you before. If I have, just think about it again from a different perspective. We were doing some mental rehearsal because that afternoon she had, or the following afternoon, which would be like a power session. This is going to be one of her power sessions. That's what these are called, these three events during the day. She started thinking, what can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? She was going to a meeting in which she was called. She was mandated to be there. And a client was there, a hotel manager, a person who was in charge of the banquet services. Everybody's finger pointing at her. There's a misunderstanding on a bill on a big event that was held at the hotel, and everybody wanted her to explain why it turned out the way it did. That's what she thought was going to happen. Now, by the time I got to her, she was already 3 or 4 days into catastrophizing. So you can imagine, you just blow this molehill into a mountain. It was a big deal. And she was already defensive about what she was going to say and why it wasn't fair and why this shouldn't happen. And we stepped back, and I counseled her to take full accountability for any part that she had in making that circumstance, and then we practice intrinsically validating the people in our mind. Tell me about this person. Tell me about their background. Tell me about their needs. What do you know about them? She found some wonderful things about these people, and as she began to think about this, this is what you're going to do in preparation for those three events, all of her anger started to dissipate. That was really beautiful to watch. Then we did a visualization, a mental rehearsal. I said, okay, I see you walking into the building. Can you see yourself walking in the building? Uh-huh. Can you see yourself getting in the elevator? Uh-huh. You have a brown paper sack in your hand. What's in it? Well, I had already seen, for me, what was in it. For me, what was in it was three light switches. And I saw her sitting down at the meeting and listening carefully, and then when it was her turn to address their concerns, hand out the light switches to the three people. Of course, they'd ask, what is this for? And she was going to respond, well, I'm on the hot seat, so if you don't like what I'm saying, just flip the switch and fry me. It was a little humor, and humor is a wonderful thing. But I asked her what she saw. She saw three tomatoes. She said, I'm going to hand three tomatoes out to these people, and if they don't like what I'm saying, I'm going to tell them to throw them at me. It was a little humor. Well, she reported back last week what happened at the meeting. She sat down in a power session, fully conscious. What can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? She was so prepared for this one-hour power session. She sat down and listened, truly listened to everyone. And all of a sudden, there was walls coming down and compromise was made and everybody was doing well. And then she started validating the banquet manager because the event was flawless. We don't want to have this billing issue overshadow the fact that the event was incredibly delivered. Thank you. The manager of the hotel, what a wonderful thing to have someone like this working for you. To the client, what a worthy cause that you're involved in. When it was all done, everybody came to an agreement. And she left the meeting with a sack in her hand and the three tomatoes. She never used them. But it gave her something to think about, to have her in the right frame of mind. So in the morning, you pick three of these kinds of occasions. You don't like to make phone calls? What could I create? How could I create it? How would this serve? What could I say to these people that would be different than anything I've ever said before? And get a divine spark, an idea. Boom. Wow. I pick up the phone, the first guy, and I might say, you know, I got a stack of leads on my desk that I said other people have probably called. You've been getting a lot of these calls? Okay. Well, I'm just looking for 20 people. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. Bomb, 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 bomb. Tell me more about you. Are you one of these people? So bold, so clear, but simple because of a divine spark, because present in the now, letting go of fear, letting go of anxiety. 1 hour, concentrated, absolutely concentrated, fully present. Well, there's a power session. At noon, read scroll 9, I will act now. Oh, I can tell you when you're studying this scroll, the words will ring in your mind. Every time you're tempted not to do something, you'll hear, I will act now, I will act now. And you find yourself doing it because you want to have something to sustain you through the afternoon because that tsunami of life will wash over you and can leave you tumbling in the turf if you're not careful. So scroll 9 at noon, finish your power sessions. So everybody's clear so far. Quick review. First thing in the morning, pick three events. Read scroll 5. Begin using your mind. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Every time you're tempted to go into catastrophe or fantasy, no, not today. I'm going to stay focused here. First power session comes, you execute. At noon, you read scroll 9. You finish your power sessions, the last two power sessions. And then you sit down at night for just a moment. Some of you do this, some of you may. Have a journal. And just write a sentence or two about each one of the power sessions. Now, this happened, or I met this person, or this occurred. It was things that may not have happened. Here's the key. Things that may not have happened had I have not been fully conscious in that moment. That's what you want to write. Then you're going to read scroll 7. I will laugh at the world just to put things back into perspective, and then you're going to sleep like a baby. You do that routine for 7 days, and you'll create a miracle in your life. Anybody want a miracle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're going to confront every thought process, systemic thought process, that has been trying to rob you from taking action. The one that doesn't like structure, That would be the third measurement in your external world, discipline. It doesn't like structure. It just doesn't like it. It doesn't matter whether it's good for you or not. It just doesn't like it. So it's going to fight structure. Just plan on that being there. Plan on it ahead of time. Wow. You're waking up in the morning, oh, I don't want to do that again today. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick three times. I'm going to read the scroll. I'm going to do the power sessions, read the scrolls, make my journal entries. Because what would be delightful is for you to send to me this week some of your experiences. I'd love to hear some of your experiences during power sessions. There may be times. I don't want to discourage you. If you can do it, I've had so many people say, well, like, can I do it more than three times a day? And I'm telling you, only two people in my entire last 5 years have done three a day. Only two. So don't think about four until you've done three. Just faithfully do three every day. What you're going to discover, I sense, is how much time you are out of being present in the now. How much time you spend in your mind in destructive behavior. This will be a great eye-opener for you because this is the place where you're going to want to focus, is when you can start being present 3 hours a day and create a miracle. Imagine what could happen if you could take it beyond three. Oh, imagine. Because I mentioned Dan McCormick earlier. Those guys are like this all day. They just are. That's why they make $100,000 a month. Because that's where they live. They have become that person. They weren't always that way, but they have become that person. And you can too. Not overnight, not in a week, but you can too. So have some fun with this exercise this week. And next week we'll come back, and I will spend some time next week on fear. Come prepared to take on fear. I'll dissect it for you, explain to you how the chemicals work, what creates in your thought processes, why it's happening. Because the more clinical we can be about fear when it's occurring, the easier it is for us to step back and say, stop that. That's ridiculous. I'm just not going to go there today. I'm not going to let this sabotage me. This is just a chemical reaction in my body caused by this thought process I had 2 hours ago. Okay, stop this. You'll be able to control fear. Let's do that next week. But this week, three power sessions a day. Now, does anybody have a question about what a power session is? I explain the best I can, but it's very common that someone will say, I don't quite understand. We do not want to send you out this week without understanding. So is there anyone who would like a little bit more clarity on any piece of a power session?
I would.
Okay. Ask me a question.
Well, when you say power session, you said most important moments of the day. So you pick out, looking at your calendar, what is the three, if you had to pick, these parts of my day are going to have the most impact? Is that how you pick which?
The most important. And generally, it's wise to do it when you're involved with people.
Okay.
So look at your calendar tomorrow. What's on your calendar for tomorrow as it relates to people? Anything jump off the page?
Yep, there's several things.
Okay. Would you be comfortable enough just to give us an example?
Sure. Let me look at my calendar. So I've got several different calls where I'm connecting directly with prospects.
Okay. Are they expecting your call?
Yes.
Okay. So these are like meetings you set up on the phone.
Correct.
Oh, what a great power session.
I've also got a call together with my whole organization.
Ooh, now there's a great power session. Let's take that one for an example. We're a little bit over, everyone, but if you can hang with me, let's explore this. So if anybody needs to leave, that's okay. We'll understand. You can listen to the recording. So you have a call tomorrow with your team.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, you're reflecting on your team. That's a power session. Is it like an hour-long meeting?
It is.
Okay, so there's a perfect power session. You read, oh, I will live this day as if it is my last. Now, what time is that meeting going to be held?
The meeting's actually tomorrow evening, same time as this
tomorrow.
Call.
Okay, wonderful. So tomorrow evening, that's the last, probably the last power session of your day.
It is.
Is it on the phone or is it in person?
It's on the phone.
On the phone. So imagine going through the day, and every time you're tempted to go think about a bill or think about your income or think about a problem or struggle, you're constantly asking yourself, what can I create in this meeting tonight? How could I create it? How would this serve? What could I do that I've never done before to lift and build and encourage these people to take on their lives at another level. What could I say to them? And you just be open in that space throughout the day, because you're thinking anyway. You're not always doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not doing, what are we typically thinking about? Sometimes it's not constructive. So we're using our time constructively. You'll come up with something. I'll be so excited for you to send me an email on this. You'll come up with an idea for your meeting tomorrow night that you never thought about before. And it'll be life-changing. And you'll execute a power session. And when you get off the phone, you'll get some emails from people. It'll say, wow, where did this come from? This was so awesome, and I know you're awesome already. But being able to take it to another level because you focused with such intent on lifting and building. Step into the world of these people. See where they are. Let this power that governs abundance guide your thoughts through the day in preparation for that event. Mentally rehearse the phone call. What could you say? How could you say it? Who could you engage? You might think about involving someone you have never involved before. You might even talk to them ahead of time and ask them to talk about something specific. I don't know what you're going to come up with, but you'll come up with something magnificent. And it'll be one of the best team calls you've had in a long time because you consciously applied, what can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? This is a power session. This is something meaningful. And you'll come away with a great experience. That's a power session.
Excellent. Good. Thank you.
Now imagine doing that three times a day.
It's going to be powerful.
Yeah, and you and I know, I believe I know who I'm talking to, so we'll just leave it at that. With your team, you're in this space often.
Mm-hmm.
You can take this to a whole other level.
That's what I'm feeling in my the excitement that I'm feeling right now is just that I can use this to grow exponentially. To help people exponentially. Not me, them.
Yeah, you gave me a tingle down my spine. I could feel it, yeah. Anybody else feel this on the call? There's a new vision of possibility, not just to plan on the meeting or, gosh, how do I motivate them? You know, all the energy that can sometimes come. What can I create? We turn to that power that governs abundance. Say, I want to take these people to another part of their life. Help me to see things I've never seen before. Help me to understand things in a way I've never understood them before. And then you go execute the power session. And I can promise you this. No matter what's said, you'll have such joy when you finish that call. Such a deep sense of joy that what you did mattered in their lives. And it'll make you sleep like a baby. And it'll light your fire to do another power session the next day and the next day and the next day. Because that's the miracles that start to happen. And you multiply those miracles, we'll be talking about some fun things a week from now.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much for asking. That was very valuable.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, everyone. Are we ready? Let's go take this on this week. Next week is fear. Just want you to know our hearts are with you. These are interesting times. But if you want to fight through and find success, start applying these principles. Find the courage to read those scrolls three times a day. This week it's scroll 5, 9, and 7. Just spend time with them. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week. Okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.